The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. You are what you eat. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Aisling Larkin, the TV chef of the Mindful Eating Coach, is back with me, fresh from New York and the half marathon. How did it go?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. Oh my God, awesome buzz.
Had the bug. Amazing. Going to do another one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a terrible thing. Full marathon will be next now.
No, won't. No, never. My sister-in-law texted me and said that. Not a hope.
Everyone says that. What are we talking about? So what's scrappy cooking?
Scrappy cooking. So it's like this conversation around zero waste cooking, sustainability, but it's like been a little bit scrappy about it, using your scraps, but been really clever and really smart about what you use. Like, it, particularly coming out of New York, like the cost of food and the price of food is astronomical. We're not quite there yet here, but like we are kind of heading there. Like everybody's grocery bill is going up and you have to make the most of your groceries.
Food is expensive in New York, isn't it?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I felt like I hadn't eaten a vegetable in about 2 days. I was like, I need something in me. Green juice, like $14.
I know. It's
orange juice,
it's amazing.
$13.
It's so, so expensive.
It really is.
Anyway, we don't live there, so.
We don't, but we do.
Can't really eat. It's a bit kind of first world problem-y, isn't it? Given out about how much you pay for your green juice after you fly to New York.
I know.
Anyway,
I know.
So scrappy food, is this the stuff that's at the back of the fridge you haven't used, or is this, you know, literally scraps? The stuff I was going to chuck out?
Yeah, it's both.
Okay.
So it's those bits that you're looking at that are kind of on the last legs. What can you do with them before you let them go? It's the ones that are, you know, maybe you've thought, well, it's only the peelings or the scraps and I'm just going to get rid of it. So, like, I suppose food waste in Ireland has increased so much over the last number of years. I think we're looking at like 146 kilos of food waste per year. National cost, 1.2 billion annually. Now, I'm not here to depress anybody on a Friday, but what I would rather do is solve the problems and give us solutions for what we can do with lots and lots of different
foods. How do we solve them?
The first thing is you've got to change your mindset on this. They're no longer scraps. They are really valuable. They've got tons of flavour in them. They're so nutrient dense. Like, we talk so much about eating the skin on things because of the fibre, because of the polyphenols, because of the flavonoids. And all of a sudden we're at home, we have a speed peeler and we're just peeling them all off and we're throwing them away. So like, there's huge amount of nutrients in them. So that's what we have to do. So you've got to think, these are little nuggets of gold. Instead of throwing them out, what can I do with them? And talking about coming home from New York, like, I got in on Tuesday morning. Normally I would do the grocery shop on the weekend. The fridge was a bit more sparse than normal. A few random bits in there.
No one would do it for you in your absence.
It was done, but in a varied way, shall we say. Not quite the usual shop.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to go and kind of be creative all week. So I was like, I'm not going to supermarket shopping. And you know, you can be really creative when you have to be creative.
Yeah.
And we'll see that with a couple of the dishes that I've actually brought you. But I think if we kind of run through some foods and maybe how you can save them and how you can preserve them.
All right.
Bread is one of the first ones, like bread rolls. You know, your typical baguette, like, they go off so quickly, so fast. Next day, if you pick them up in the bakery, they're dry as a bone. Great little top tip. Run them under the tap.
Yeah.
Wet them, soak them, like you're giving them a little shower, and then shove them in the air fryer or shove them in the oven for a couple of minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Rejuvenates them. Back to life. Back to life. Good as new.
Okay.
So on Wednesday and Thursday, that's what my kids end up with in their lunch boxes because they're there and we're not throwing them out. You can obviously make breadcrumbs. A really lovely thing to do is just fry off a little bit of garlic butter, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of olive oil, make your breadcrumbs, toss your breadcrumbs in it, then put it in a lunch box and store it in the freezer. So you've got these lovely little breadcrumbs that you can sprinkle on top of pasta dishes or on top of anything.
Okay, lovely.
So it's a really nice one.
Yeah.
If we talk about citrus, lemons, limes, all of that, so many times a recipe will call for the juice of a lime, the juice of a lemon.
Oh yeah, you have to buy three.
Yes, exactly.
Chuck two out in 2 weeks' time.
Never chuck them out. But and they last for ages, actually. But before you juice them, zest them. Little microplane, right? It'll only cost you, I actually had it in a bag earlier, I should have brought it in. It'll only cost you about a tenner. They're a little fine grater. You hold it in your hand. That will take the zest off of your lemons, your limes, your oranges.
Yeah.
That zest has a different flavour profile to what the juice has. And it's beautiful. It's where all the essential oils are. So if you can take out all of that gorgeous zest, freeze it. So you can take a little bit of parchment paper, pop it down, put the zest on it, wrap it up, put it in a freezer bag and freeze it. You can mix it in with salt. Mm-hmm. Have a lovely lime salt, lemon salt, perfect for a margarita. They are the cocktail of choice for 2024, 2025. There's loads of things. Or you can put them in your caster sugar and you can have a lovely little sprinkle.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you can put them into like so many different things. So I think don't waste, always zest before you juice. Because you're just wasting so much if you don't. In terms of storage, we'll come back to some of the foods in a second, but glass jars.
Yeah.
I know you probably know because you've seen me week in and week out, but like the amount of things I bring in here in glass jars is unbelievable. I store my...
Well, we're going to get to the food in a minute, but you've got a chocolate pudding in a glass jar that used to hold jam in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single one. I've got big wide drawers in my kitchen and the bottom one is just full of like rows of 8 to 10 jam jars. Washed out, washed out, washed out. They're used for, so I will use them for when I come home after doing the grocery shop. Do you just want to eat? And I'll keep talking.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay, let's start with pasta.
Okay.
The jam jars. I store my veggies in them. I store, if I bring home strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, take them out, wash them, pat them dry into glass jars. Your raspberries, if you bring them home on a Saturday, will last you at best till Monday morning. If you put them in glass jars, you will easily get till Wednesday, Thursday out of them. You get so much longer out of them.
Mm.
Things like storing your sesame seeds, things like storing anything. And then if I make a batch of hummus, I'll divide up the batch of hummus into two small jam jars, store it in the fridge. So I use them all of the time. So rather than using plastic, single-use plastic, reusable plastic, use your glass jars. They keep everything fresher for longer. You have to trust me.
House what am pasta. I eating? It's delicious.
You are eating caramelized onion pasta. So easy. Everybody. What's one of the things everybody has in the bottom of the drawer?
Onions.
Potatoes, onions, garlic. How are you going to use them up? So you take your onions. If you slow cook onions and caramelize them, they will transform any sandwich, any salad, any pasta dish, no matter what you're eating. So this is basically one pot cooking or one tray cooking in the oven. So we sliced up three onions that were hanging around the bottom of the veggie press. Sliced those up. I had a few sun-dried tomatoes. So I often find I have like things like sun-dried tomatoes and olives. You know, the top shelf or the door of the fridge.
Yeah.
I've used a few. They're still sitting there. So use some of the oil out of that. Put in those sun-dried tomatoes on top. A whole bulb of garlic. Just cut the top off it. Sit it in and it roasts with the onions and with the sun-dried tomatoes.
Okay.
So you've got your onions, sun-dried tomatoes, your big bulb of garlic in the centre, a bit of olive oil, cover it with tin foil, put it in the oven, low and slow at about 160 for about an hour to an hour and a half until those onions are so sweet, so caramelised, so juicy. Cook your bit of pasta.
What type of pasta is that?
That is called trecce, T-R-E-C-C-E.
Lovely, isn't it?
Gorgeous.
Never had it before.
It's from Dunn's. It's one of the kind of specially selected, like it's one of those bronze dye pastas. You know, I often talk about the bronze dye pasta.
Mm.
So where do you spend your money? If you're saving money on your scrappy cooking, spend a euro max extra on a beautiful pasta and you will totally notice the difference. So bronze dye pasta. A total winner. So you just finish it with a tiny little drop of cream. Like, that's onions. That's all that is a few leftover onions. And it's just so, so easy. The other thing that I had in there was Parmesan cheese. With your Parmesan, save the rinds. Do you save the rinds of your Parmesan cheese?
No.
Oh, Kieran.
Really? What should I be doing with the rinds?
So any soup you're making, drop them into any soup that you're making and they will just taste absolutely amazing.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Any pasta sauce you're making, any creamy pasta sauce like an Alfredo or carbonara, just drop in the bit of the rind and it is so gorgeous.
Mmm. What's this?
I know.
It's really good.
It's really good, isn't it? This is noodles. So it's basically like a peanut butter jam jar noodle dish.
Okay.
So I've taken the end of a peanut butter jar. There was a bit of old peanut butter left in the end of it.
Mm.
So put it in the microwave or put a little bit of boiling water in just to loosen that little bit of peanut butter that's stuck to the sides.
Yeah.
Then into that I grated fresh ginger, fresh garlic, soy sauce, sesame oil, fish sauce, and shake it all around. Shake, 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 shake.
Yeah.
That forms the basis. Those noodles are those packets of pre-cooked noodles that you have and you just heat them up. And then I went to my salad drawer, my veggie drawer, and there was scraps of bits of beetroot, a bit of carrot, a bit of cabbage, a bit of corn, a few green beans.
Yeah.
Fried those up. Now, when you're stir frying, what a lot of people tend not to do is put enough oil in the pan. To get that very authentic, high heat, cooking, fast stir fried, you actually do need a decent bit of oil in there. You don't have to consume all the oil. It'll sit in the end of the wok, but you do need it to coat everything, to get it glossy, to cook it fast. So the veggies go in. And then I had a couple of chicken thighs. And again, chicken thighs, much kind of more sustainable. Really great tip when you're cutting your meat, particularly chicken thighs, because they're a little bit tougher if you want to start. Like those chicken thighs weren't on the pan for 4 minutes because they're teeny tiny little pieces.
Okay.
Cut them. So the grain, you'll see the grain runs, right? So it's like the grain. Cut against the grain. So cut the opposite direction.
Yes.
That tenderizes it. So it allows you to cook it in seconds.
Okay.
And then what I popped on top was a little bit of pickled ginger. So pickling carrots, pickling onions, pickling ginger, because you have ginger left over.
Yes.
It's a really good way to do it. And it just adds such a brightness and a zing to the end. But I just think that is delicious.
That is really, really nice.
Isn't it?
If you like a satay at all, I mean, that's... Oh,
I love that one.
Beautiful.
Chocolate mousse.
What's for dessert?
Says Greedy Goose. Do you know that book, Chocolate Mousse for Greedy Goose?
No.
Oh, it's one of the kids' books. It's a gorgeous one. Have a taste of this. This is a dark chocolate mousse. Now, it's been out of my fridge for a little while, so it should come directly from the fridge.
Oh, that It's lovely. It's so smooth.
Isn't it?
Oh my God.
So that is made with chickpea water.
Ugh.
I knew
Jesus.
You were going to say,
put it down.
I shouldn't have told you what was in it.
I don't even want to have another spoon of it.
Sure, you do. You do. Chickpea water. So chickpea water is known as aquafaba. It acts and behaves the exact same way as egg whites. So a classic mousse is made with egg whites. You can fold in some cream. It's melted dark chocolate. So basically, you whip up your aquafaba or your chickpea water. It will take about 10 minutes. Will you stop?
It is delicious, but I'm kind of grimacing while I eat it, even though it's delicious.
It is delicious. You don't know that it's, but like aquafaba can be used in like vegan, like if you want to make cocktails and you can't use an egg white, it's really, really nice.
No, it's really good. I just would, can I make a recommendation?
Sure.
Tell people after they finish it.
Absolutely. if I didn't have to have told you there and then, I wouldn't have told you there and then. I would have let you eat it and enjoy it.
Listen, delicious, delicious, delicious food as always, and great advice as always. So we'll get this up as a podcast so people can listen back and you'll find out more. If you look up Aisling Larkin online, Aisling is a TV chef and the Mindful Eating Coach, and we'll be back at the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.